Welcome to Founders Future, a podcast hosted by Closers.io, where we dive deep into the journeys of innovative entrepreneurs and explore the road ahead for both themselves and their companies. I'm your host, Elliot Boll, and in each episode, we'll uncover the stories behind successful businesses, the challenges faced along the way, and the strategies driving their future expansion. Today, we're excited to have Hunter Searles, the founder and principal of Rooted Advisory Group. He'll be sharing more about his founding story and giving us a glimpse into his plans for future growth. So let's jump right in, Hunter. Welcome to Founders Future.
Hey, thanks for having me.
No problem at all. Now, I would love to get straight to the core of it's really fascinating for me, is you've had a successful career and you've decided to start a business. Tell us the story of what inspired you to start a business, and then, in a nutshell, the challenges that you're solving.
So mine was kind of interesting. And, a lot of people say, like, I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur from the very, very beginning of setting off on my career. Mine was not necessarily that way. I knew I actually wanted to be a consultant. I kind of, once I entered the workforce, I saw the value. I was at a large Fortune 500 company as an employee at the time. And so was fortunate enough to get to experience and work with a lot of the, Big Four, quote unquote. And I got to see the expertise that they brought and just how clear and concisely they could deliver information. And so from that, I knew that I wanted to be a consultant in some way. Didn't really know what it looked like. Didn't even know what it meant at the time. And so, like, 4 years later, fast forward, I get the opportunity to actually go be a consultant for one of, if not the largest global IT consulting firm in the world. I spent about a year and a half there. I was going to stay a little bit longer, and then COVID hit. And so I was on, kind of the 90% travel route, where Monday to Thursday in and out. And so that kind of stopped. Clients were starting to more tightly budget their projects and spend. And specifically, I was working in automation, AI, and machine learning at the time. And this was back in, 2020, 2019, where this was not fun yet. Like, this, the AI buzzword was not really hitting. Like, RPA was still really cool. And so that's the kind of stuff that we were doing. We were trying to introduce the more advanced machine learning type models, and those projects just weren't there right at the beginning. And so I really, really hated being on the bench, like, as consulting says, where you just don't have work, but you're still getting paid. I didn't like that. I needed something to do. And so ended up changing the path and got an opportunity to go lead an organization that was being newly formed as a subsidiary. I was not the CEO leading it, but worked on the growth team. And so I was kind of head of growth engineering and the architecture that would set up the launch of that company and subsidiary. And that was my first real taste of true business strategy. And I kind of understood there that the people side and the go-to-market side and the how are customers going to perceive, interact, and benefit from what you're selling. It was a whole different thing than I was dealing with, even at a larger consultancy, right? There, the project scope was set prior to. I had to build commercials and I had to go deliver the project and all of those things, but there was no, bigger picture. The bigger picture was taken care of by everyone else. And so fast forward, I actually ended up going through a layoff with that company. They laid off hundreds of people, and I was fortunate enough to be one, along with my entire team and organization. And it kind of forced me to look in the mirror, because I had put the consulting thing kind of to bed with the experience I had. Not that it was a bad experience, but it's very much a, you're a number, you're in and out of projects, you don't really form great client relationships, you don't have the time to. And so I made the decision I didn't want to go back into big consulting after being laid off. I just didn't know what else that meant. And it took, 6 months and a lot of hard thinking and tough times and, draining savings account to get to the point that I ended up taking a contracting role just as an individual contributor, individual contractor in 1099. And I loved it. It was just I was playing kind of a in between consulting role with one of the larger firms leading a transformation for a big transportation company. And it was a really cool experience. I enjoyed kind of being my own boss and doing that. And then when the I say that I never had the intention to form it into a company. I was totally fine, just independent contractor for the rest of my life. But it came to the point where it's like, do I really want to harbor tax savings in my personal savings account? It's like, no, I probably need a business account. And then, if you're going to do that, then you've got to file taxes as a business and you need an LLC and like you got to figure out what that means. For me, it was LLC. So I was kind of just on the fence until the needle officially dropped to like, okay, now you have to go. Like, and really in my mind, I framed it as it was either go back to the large consulting world, or do it for myself the way that I had always imagined I would when I was in that world previously. And I got that unique experience to kind of have a sandbox as a 1099 contractor and was able to prove value in the things that we were doing and that I was doing at the time, which is very much still, what we're doing is rooted just on a little bit bigger scale now, which is great. And I couldn't really make myself go back, right? It's a different level of stress to wake up and know that you're, responsible for kind of your own destiny that day, for getting your own clients, building your own relationships. That is very stressful, don't get me wrong. And I hate administrative work. It is the worst. But it to me, it is better than the stress of waking up and not knowing what you're going to get assigned the next day, or what the client will demand of you, and what your, partner or whoever on the account will be like, sorry, gotta do it. Like they're writing a check. I always knew I didn't want to really go back to that. And so I chose to let the needle drop and started rooted. And it's been a great experience so far. And don't get me wrong, there's been ups and downs. But I'm really, really glad that I did it.
Incredible. Well, thank you so much for the honest journey all the way
Yeah.
through, for what sounds like quite a serendipitous journey to end up at the point where you have autonomy on the types of work and clients you work with.
Yeah.
And again, you're the master of your own destiny. It's on your rule set, your philosophy, your way of engaging. So it sounds like a beautiful story and told almost like it layered in thematically with the different pockets. So thanks for taking us on that journey. Now, you mentioned that obviously entrepreneurship has its challenges as well as obviously its upside. Now, in terms of the early days of turning it, going from Hunter as the contract super lord to a kind of a business, what were some of the challenges that you faced? And maybe give us an example of one that you're able to chew through.
Yeah, I would say super lord is a very generous term to start with. There were more challenges than I ever thought there would be. And I mean, I think overall, the way that I would frame it is I knew it was going to be hard. I just didn't necessarily know how hard. And so things like getting an accounting system set up, finding an accountant to work with, contracts are pretty difficult to like read and create, and so you probably need a good attorney. And like, God forbid if you get sued, consulting or something. I can't sue myself, so probably need to find that. And so setting up all of the base of what I felt like we needed before we could really go to market as rooted and have a good strong foundation to present ourselves, it took way longer than I thought it was going to take, number one, and it was much harder than I thought it was going to be. And I could not imagine if I would have tried to do it on my own and just kind of set everything up myself and went true solopreneur style, like it would have been awful. I mean, it's great to have really good people around me and really good partners to work with in areas like legal and financial things, which is not my, forte, let's say. And so it allows me to trust that things like that are in good hands. But I struggled for a while before I allowed that trust to happen and to let some of that stuff go. And I would say the other big challenge has been I kind of took for granted the amount of let's say pre-project stuff that was done for me when I was a consultant prior, like finding clients, labeling what the services needed were. How do you price these things? Do you just, what is the set of your hourly versus what it was when I was at a big consulting? Why? Like, what is the reason? It's not just a blank number. And I think that was an, challenge as well of having to really sit back and look at the framework of a business, like a professional services firm, and determine what we wanted to do and really who we wanted to be going forward. And so we made the decision, for example, that we are going to remain to our values and our integrity, and we are not going to compensate just because we think we need a check. We are much more willing to just let a client go and trust in ourselves and trust that something good is going to come on the other side versus having to, do what's needed for the next paycheck. And that's a promise that I've made to myself and my team as they join. It's like, we're going to continue to do the right thing in our eyes every day. And if we can do that every single day, then at the end of all of these days compiled, you have a much better likelihood of something good happening for you versus taking the shortcut one day, lying one day, cheating someone out of something one day. But like, no, doesn't compound well, so to speak. And so those were a lot of the challenges, were more of the logistical, like behind the scenes of running a business, filing, end of the year reports with the DOR of your state and whatever other states you're licensed in. And, do I need to do employee tax in that state because they were on site more than 30 days? I just spilled my drink over, and that's great. Do you need to do employee taxes because they're on site more than 30 days for that state? There's just all these little things that I didn't honestly know existed to the level that they did. And it's been a challenge, but a great one in the way that I feel like I've got a more well-rounded understanding of what it really takes, and what the stress of some of these businesses are under. Because, like, to our point earlier, when we were talking previously, like, the financials, the timelines, there's all these reasons that companies have for that. Sometimes they're better than others. Sometimes they're more legitimate than others. But you get a better sense when you've done it for yourself, when you've had to own not only your own P&L segment, but your own P&L that's it, period. There's one. You gain an empathy, honestly, for leaders in the area that they're in and the stress that they're under, to a level that I just feel like I never could if I wouldn't have had to go through this. And so those were some of the more, tangible challenges I think that we had to deal through and I had to personally work through.
That's fascinating. Because I heard kind of two main threads. One of them being, I almost call it like the gruesome parts, the necessary like accounting, financial, you said even legal, like all of those things kind of needed to happen. It's kind of like must have, but also kind of definitely not fun. We'd rather like make clients smile or make some impact in somewhere else. And then the other thread is you obviously had a lot of experience delivering the value, delivering the outcomes, but you talked about acquiring new customers, setting scope of work, pricing. And so I like that it kind of brought you back to first principles thinking in like, why do we do it this way or that way? And it kind of full circles come back to your thought around like, let's just make the right decision. So it sounds like a business built on stone. And I like your philosophy. It resonates with me a lot. Now, looking forward, I imagine you obviously mentioned that you've been together with the team. If you wouldn't mind, can you share what's come out of this conversation? Like, what are your key priorities for the year moving forward?
Yeah, so one of the big ones is getting ready for kind of the next client work that we're gonna take on, within the next few months. And so setting the stage for a stable project and a successful program as we go forward for that client specifically has been one. But I would say the large majority of it was taking the time to do a lot of work for ourselves internally that we really haven't revisited since, before we launched Rooted into the world. So things like our brand and mission statement, vision statement, brand strategy as a whole. One of the cool things that we've done on this trip and retreat was we had a brand strategy and marketing consultant kind of do a virtual workshop, and it was 5 days of not like a couple hours a day of Going all the way down to like the archetype level of what does your voice sound like when you're talking, and choosing brands you resonate with and characters that you resonate with, and the stuff that we just never took the time to do. And it was unique in the way that I was fortunate to be a 1099 and be able to kind of directly move that into my business. So I never had to have that weird stage of like zero work where I was in the light, knowing that I was going with that business, right? And so I had to do it on the fly, and client work took priority over my own business's work, quite frankly. And so a lot of the stuff we've been doing here has been getting back to, our roots, so to speak. And one of the building our business in stone is a really good analogy. And one of the things that we say all the time is, healthy roots make healthy fruits. And you can have a tree that's growing huge, but if it's just dead wood, that's, cool. You would rather it have leaves, some fruit, do what it's supposed to do, be thriving in its environment, be in the right environment, cultivated correctly, and so on. And that was above everything else, is what we're trying to do here, is to make sure that what we're doing in 2025 and beyond is grounded in those things that we said we were going to do back in 2023 or 2022 when we were starting all of this and had the first initial conversations about it. And I feel like we've been really successful at that. But the other point is non-work, really. Like, I also understand the value of fellowship with the people that I work with. And I'm extremely lucky that I get to work with people that I would say are my friends and dear friends, some of which I've met through work and worked with in the past, some of which I've just known as friends for years and had the awesome opportunity to need their service, so to speak, and been able to bring them on. And so spending time with the people that you work with and that you rely on every day and building that natural cultivation of trust and relationship and organic, reciprocity. That's such a hard word to say. But trusting that we all have each other's best interests in heart, that stuff's kind of happens organically as you spend time together, as you're vulnerable to one another about what you're going on in your personal life, not just what that frustrating client said to you in the meeting yesterday. There's a lot to be said for camaraderie and fellowship. So that's been another big goal, as well as biz dev and like getting that pipeline set up and making sure that, we have a healthy 2025 pipeline to look into for 2026. Early on, we took zero, approach in that nature, and we were just very much like, "Ooh, hope someone calls today." And that's not a great approach, obviously. And so those three things I would say have been the big ones, is just kind of getting back to the core fellowship and then pipeline of what the future looks like.
Epic. Well, I mean, that's what it's all about anyway. I like number two specifically, but almost exercise one cultivates a little bit of two, and then yeah, the clients will keep coming and hopefully they keep calling, Hunter. Before we wrap up, this conversation's flown by, so we're gonna have to put tie a bow on it. But what's the one best piece of advice? You shared nuggets throughout for founders, but what's one best piece of advice that if a founder was listening today that you would tell them?
I would say think really, really hard before you take the jump to do it, right? A lot of times people are just super passionate and, I jumped in, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't even know what it meant to be a business owner. All of those had no idea anything, and it works out. That is great, right? But that is not the percentage of what works out. And the lows are really, really low. And so you have to really be the type of person that's okay with that roller coaster of being up and down, because the highs are very high and really awesome. And you feel extremely valuable, like you're providing value that's real to clients, to the people that work for you, the people that are partners with you all around. There's a lot of really, really good, awesome stuff that comes with this. But also just don't be naive to the fact that there's going to be some bad, right? And if you continue to go through the bad enough time, so to speak. I would say I'm fortunate enough to have been in enough of those valleys throughout my career that I know how to come out of the other side of those, and at least have to an extent in the past. Hopefully that continues in the future. But my biggest piece of advice would be think really hard. And that doesn't mean to have a business plan, to have all of your bank accounts set up, to have a lawyer on the payroll. Like, that's not what it means. Make sure that the vision that you have, the thing that you want to do, and why you want to do it are very, very firmly set. If you can go back to those things at all times, to our point earlier, like, the rest will fall into place. But if you're just operating on, let's say a spite of like a manager, or you think you have a better product than someone else on the market does, and you're just full-fledged and proof of I'm going to be better than you, or you're in it for the wrong reason. Like, you've got to be in it for the reason that you set out and the intention you want to serve, the value that you want to bring to whomever your client base is going to be. Do it for the right reasons and think really hard about what they are. And if you still want to do it, go for it, because it's probably your only option, or else it's going to continue itching at you for years and years and years until you finally are like, I can't take it. Here we go. Got to do it now. So, like, go ahead and do it. There's no perfect time.
Epic, epic. Now that wraps up another inspiring episode of Founders Future. I want to thank Hunter for sharing not only his incredible journey, but also the insights that he shared with us today. Now, to our listeners, if you enjoyed the episode, don't forget to subscribe to Founders Future wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. You can find more resources and insights at closers.io, where we're dedicated to helping businesses accelerate their sales. Until then, keep climbing and we'll see you on the next one.